intoxicated him with the faint flavor of mulberry wine. The slight trembling of her body when he touched her was a telltale sign that she wanted him as badly as he did her, and he yearned to linger over her and give her so much pleasure that she would remember this night for the rest of her life. He just wasn't sure how long he would be able to wait. Sissy felt as if she were floating on lightning-streaked clouds. Ben's mouth on her skin felt like warm, wet silk. When he drew on her nipples, the pleasurable sensations pulsed in ribbons to her lower abdomen and filled her with urgent need. Ben. His name became a song inside her head that increased in tempo as her desire mounted. She couldn't easily move with the cast anchoring her to the mattress, but she arched to wrap her arms and one leg around him, to press herself so firmly against him that they became one. He kissed her and lightly teased her nerve endings with the tip of his tongue. Just below her ear, he found a spot that made her breath quicken with every stroke. Then he savored the bend of her arm, tasting and suckling on her skin as if she were, as she'd once dreamed of him being, an ice cream cone. And she felt as if she were about to melt. When she could bear it no longer, she said his name, and he shifted to lie beside her and trail his palm down her belly. She jerked when he ran a fingertip inside the aching cleft between her legs. "Ben, tonight's the real deal."
"Shh," he murmured. "Trust me. I just need to get you ready."
Sissy trusted him as she had never trusted anyone. He found his target and gently teased her there until her body began to spasm with his every touch. Then sensation exploded through her, so intense that the world seemed to go black, even as starbursts of brightness danced before her eyes. Long after Ben withdrew his hand, her muscles continued to quiver. He kissed her neck and whispered that he loved her, gently bringing her back down to reality and him. She felt him shift his weight and heard a foil wrapper being opened. Then, after shifting the pillows that supported her cast, he moved between her thighs. In the dim light coming from the living room, she could see the defined musculature of his chest and abdomen. Tendons bunched in his shoulders as he pressed his fists into the mattress to support his weight. The next instant, he thrust forward and impaled her. A sharp pain lanced through her, and she gasped at the shock of it.
"I'm sorry,"
he told her, his voice suddenly deep and gravelly.
"But I got it over with fast, and it shouldn't hurt now."
He was right. Sissy felt only a stinging sensation deep inside, where his hard shaft stretched her inner flesh and muscles to accommodate him. Then he withdrew and pushed forward again, wiping everything from her mind but the incredible feeling of having him inside of her. Pulsing, aching need filled her again. He quickened his rhythm, and she instinctively lifted her hips as best she could to meet his thrusts, dimly aware that she was digging the heel of her cast into the pillows to move. Now she understood why the doctor had refused to let her engage in this activity earlier in her recovery. Someone shrieked. She suspected that she'd made the sound, but as the waves of mind-numbing pleasure crashed through her, she didn't care. Her wish had been granted. They were one. Maybe only for this short period of time, but they were one. And she would never forget how it felt. Afterward, Ben maneuvered his way around her cast and managed to hold her in his arms. She nestled her head in the hollow of his shoulder, convinced that the indentation had been carved into his hard body just for her. He ran a hand lightly over her back, telling her without words how much he loved her. Sissy fell asleep wishing that all those fabulous feelings she had experienced could have lasted forever, but she consoled herself with the thought that being held close in his arms was almost as wonderful. Ben woke around 3 a.m. with an erection. He saw no reason to waste it, and began kissing Sissy, gently pulling her up from the depths of sleep. okay, she murmured against his chest. He felt her lips curl in a smile. Is it time to get up?
No, not yet. We have a whole hour and a half to play before I have to get ready for work.
She giggled. Then she reached up to run her fingers through his hair, a gesture that he interpreted as an invitation. He dipped his head to possess her mouth with his. Then he began stroking her body. This second time was, for him, even better than the first, because no surprises awaited her this time, and he didn't have to worry about hurting her. He slipped on protection, then he returned his attention to her. He loved the way she responded to his touch, holding nothing back. He made love to her with a slow hand and lingering kisses until he felt her body start to quiver with need. Then he let go himself, bringing her to climax with his mouth. She cried out as the orgasmic pleasure snapped her slender body taut. Ben waited until she lay lax on the bed, and then he pushed his throbbing erection deep into her feminine warmth and wetness. She revived quickly and worked her hips to meet his thrusts. Giving her pleasure and receiving the same in return was one of the most incredible experiences of Ben's life. Over the next few days, Ben and Sissy experienced the joy of being newly in love. Ben taught her the fine art of lovemaking. Sissy, without realizing it, taught Ben how incredibly beautiful sex could be when a man was with a woman he loved. When Sissy got a walking cast, she began helping Ben in the kitchen. He wouldn't allow her to stay on her feet too long and insisted that she elevate her leg frequently. But Sissy was so pleased to be back in her kitchen, even part-time, that she didn't mind the restrictions, especially when she had the late evenings with Ben to anticipate. He loved her and she loved him. It seemed like a miracle to her. How could she be this lucky? One afternoon, Sissy's cell phone rang. During business hours, she got lots of calls, so she answered the same way she always did, saying, "Hello, this is Sissy at the Cauldron. How may I help you?" Thumping her way toward the kitchen, Sissy stopped dead when a woman replied, "This is your mother, Sissy." A dozen questions raced through Sissy's mind. The one she asked was, "How did you find me?"
"I hired a detective. I want to talk with you, to explain things. I've come to Mystic Creek, right next door to your cafe, actually, in the Mexican restaurant. Will you please walk over and meet with me?"
"For what reason? If you need money, I'm a dead end."
"I'm not here for money. I'm here to try to mend my relationship with my daughter. I won't take much of your time. Please, Sissy."
"Is that asshole you call your husband with you?"
"No, and he isn't my husband now. I left him 4 years ago. I've gone to counseling and straightened out my life. I went back to Holmesville, the town where I grew up. I'm working there. I'm attending school. I've got my head on straight. All I want, all I need, is a chance to tell you how sorry I am for being such a horrible mother."
"Well, you just told me. I see no reason to meet with you, so you can say it again."
"Please, Sissy, think about it. Give me a chance. I've driven a long way. I'll wait here for an hour."
"I'll think about it." Sissy ended the call and went into the kitchen where Ben worked. "My mother just called. She wants me to meet with her. She wants to tell me she's sorry for everything. She's waiting nearby." Ben stiffened. Then he carefully laid the chopping knife on the cutting board.
"You owe her absolutely nothing, not even a moment of your time. And what if your father is hanging around outside?"
"She says she left him 4 years ago."
"And do you believe her?"
Sissy hugged her waist. "I don't know. I'm so stunned she called me, I can barely think." She dragged in a shaky breath. "But I think it may do me good to see her. Maybe I'll get some closure, if nothing else." Ben nodded.
"It's your decision to make. I think it's a mistake, but I won't try to convince you not to go."
He stepped to the pass-through and leaned out to look at the street windows.
"My worry is that she lied about leaving your dad."
"Jose will be there," Sissy replied. If my father walks in, he'll intervene and call the cops. Stiffening her shoulders, Sissy went to the storage area to grab a jacket. Then, without looking at Ben, she made her way to the front door. She paused on her way out. Wish me well? He winked at her.
Always. One word of advice, though. She wants to purge her soul, I'm betting. But don't let her do all the talking. Tell her how you feel. Get it off your chest.
In case it was icy, Sissy was cautious as she stepped out onto the sidewalk. She was only paces away from the front door. She made her way to the straw hat, paused to take a bracing breath, and walked in. She'd known seeing her mother again wouldn't be easy. But when she saw her sitting in a booth facing the entrance, Sissy froze, feeling as if a hard fist had just connected with her solar plexus. Tears stung her eyes. Part of her wanted to hobble into the dining area at her top walking cast speed to give Doreen a hug. But then she recalled all the times when her mother had failed her as a parent. With as much grace as possible, she went to sit across from Doreen Bentley. I've said it once, but I'll say it again. If you're here for money, you're wasting your time. A timid hope faded from Doreen's tear-filled eyes. Sissy felt ashamed of herself, but only for a moment. This was the woman who nearly gave birth to her only child under an apple tree. The woman who always put her husband first, no matter what he did. The woman who had allowed her daughter to be abused, not once, but countless times. Sissy knew her father had fractured her cheekbone twice when she was young because of dental x-rays she'd undergone as an adult. She hadn't been taken to the doctor either time, because questions would have been asked. Douglas Bentley might have been arrested for child abuse. Jose came to take their orders. Doreen asked for coffee. Sissy looked up at her friend and said, Nothing for me, thanks. I won't be here that long. When Jose walked away, Doreen, with a lift of her chin, a chin that Sissy saw in the mirror every morning, said,
You and I need to talk. I deserve nothing from you but your contempt. The same goes for your father. But there are things I need to say.
Then say them. And when you're finished, I have a few things to get off my chest as well.
My divorce from your father is now final. All that's left is to clear up the financial mess. He fought me in court because he thought I was hiding assets. Oregon splits marital assets right down the middle. My legal fees went through the roof.
Jose served Doreen coffee. Sissy waited until he was out of earshot to ask, So you really did divorce him?
After 2 years of duking it out with him in court, yes. He got an attorney who was willing to roll the dice to get a percentage of what money Doug could get from me. That's all over now, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's completely out of my life. At least I've been granted a divorce.
What do you mean, he isn't out of your life?
He stalks me. Your father thinks of me as a possession that's been stolen from him.
She shrugged.
Not that long ago, I left class at night. And as I crossed the parking lot, he leaped out, grabbed my arm, and tried to drag me to his truck. He said he was taking me home where I belonged. I fought, and he beat the hell out of me. I now have a restraining order, and I haven't seen him since. But I know him. I'm more careful now. Like a bad penny, he'll always show up. Today, as I drove here, I kept checking my rearview mirror. I never saw his old truck.
Be more than careful. Sissy warned. We both know he's violent when he's drunk.
Doreen shrugged. He's beyond violent. But with the restraining order, I'm fairly safe. He doesn't want to go to prison.
He beat me up pretty bad.
The only time I'll ever have to see him again is when he signs an agreement, which my attorney drew up, saying that Doug has accepted the money I'll give him and relinquishes his right to all other marital assets. Not that there's much. Doug's smart, in his way. He knows he can't draw blood from a turnip.
Doreen stared into her coffee for a moment.
I'll be leaving town early in the morning, and I'll never be back unless you invite me, which you may never do. That makes me sad. You're my daughter, and I love you.
But I understand that some mistakes a mother makes can never be erased with only an apology. Sissy couldn't think what to say. How do you plan to survive without the occasional income he brought in when he got desperate for booze? Doreen smiled, and the overhead light touches of gray showed in her red hair. Actually, Sissy, I was mostly Doug's sole means of support for years, not the other way around. Surviving on my own, without feeding him or buying his liquor, is a piece of cake. She lifted her narrow shoulders. And I have a nice nest egg. After you were safely out of the picture, I started keeping half of my earnings and hiding it from Doug. She met Sissy's gaze. I know I was a horrible mother. But at least I waited until you left before stirring that particular pot. He went berserk the first time I brought home cash instead of a check. He could no longer tell how much I'd actually been paid.
He beat you.
No more than usual. And by keeping half my money, I was giving him what he considered to be a reason. She winked at Sissy. And no, I never put the money in the bank. I worked, cashed my checks, and took home half. I kept my other earnings a secret in a safe deposit box. Sometimes it was rough, but I could always eat at the restaurant where I worked, and he couldn't.
At least he was the one who went hungry. But Mom, what if he hires an investigator and discovers the safety deposit box? Then he'll take half of your nest egg.
Nope. I emptied it of money and put family mementos in it. Someone I trust is keeping the cash for me in another safety deposit box in his name. He's sharp. He knows the law. Cash leaves no paper trail. He was so glad I wasn't stupid enough to open a bank account to put my money in. Doug could have taken half of it then.
Doreen glanced around the restaurant.
I peeked through the windows at your cafe. How are you doing financially? I know how difficult it can be to keep a small business afloat at first. If you need some cash, I owe you at least that much. I can postpone my own plans to open a business and replenish my savings over time.
Sissy thought for a moment that she needed to swab out her ears. Her mother was offering to give her money.
The Cauldron is financially stable. If you're fishing to see how well I'm doing, hoping to bleed me, you can forget it. I've saved to do a remodel, and every penny of that will go toward making my cafe more attractive to a younger crowd.
Doreen nodded. I noticed that it's very shabby in there.
And I'm not hoping to get any money from you. I have plenty to carry forward with my own plans.
Which are?
Doreen smoothed her hair. You'll laugh. I hope to open a cafe. It's the farm girl in me, I suppose. The one thing I'm really good at is cooking, and God knows all my work experience has been in restaurants.
You really plan to start a business?
Sissy couldn't keep a note of incredulity out of her voice. Mabel did it. Why shouldn't I? I'm still young. Having you at 16 was pure hell at the time, but now I'm footloose, fancy-free, and only 43. Excuse me. It's my new motto since my recent birthday.
Though still feeling dazed by the changes in her mother, Sissy approved of her plan to open a cafe. I'm proud of you, Mom. You're thinking outside the box.
Doreen laughed. I've been thinking outside the box for nearly 4 years. The first year after leaving your father was rough. I went back to Holmesville, for one, and had to face my family as a used-up, beaten-up, frantic person, with no idea what I planned to do except get away from my husband.
She paused and swallowed, making her larynx bob in her throat.
My whole family welcomed me with open arms.
Oh, Mom.
Sissy couldn't maintain the cool separation between her and her mother any longer. She reached out to grasp her slender hand, so much like her own.
I'm so glad you went home. Was it eventually a positive choice for you?
Positive? Not at first. Mama insisted that I needed counseling. She was terrified I'd go back to Doug.
So, did you go to counseling?
At the edge of her mind, Sissy thought that her grandmother had given Doreen sound advice. Oh, yes.
The first time she had to drag me, but I went. It was group therapy. I couldn't imagine talking with strangers about my life with Doug, and I expected to see a bunch of battered, pathetic, hopeless women exactly like me. But instead, the group consisted of several professional women who'd remained members to be supportive of those of us who were new and give us a visual of how it might be for each of us after recovery. She waved her hand. Not to say there weren't a lot of women like me. We were all a mess. But with the help of the therapist and those women who'd already been through the program, we began taking baby steps toward new beginnings.
Doreen fiddled with her napkin.
The funny part was, I didn't comprehend that I needed help. None of us really did. We all ended up with men who convinced us that we were stupid and undesirable, and that everything that went wrong in the relationships was our fault.
She passed her hand over her eyes and forced a smile.
That part of my life is behind me. I have nearly 3 years of college under my belt now. I'm 3 semesters away from having my bachelor's degree in business management, and I've already completed 2 years at an accredited culinary arts school. I no longer believe I'm stupid. In fact, I'm excited about my future.
So let's discuss yours instead. Somehow their conversation went from strained to almost pleasant.
Sissy revealed details about her plans for the cafe renovations. Doreen, judging by what she'd glimpsed of the cafe, approved. It'll draw in young families and provide more seating. And you've even included a gas log fireplace. I think it'll be awesome.
Sissy agreed.
In order to save up the money, I haven't taken a single day off. Well, I did take one day, which was wonderful, and I couldn't work during my recovery after falling down the stairs. But a friend of mine took over for me.
Calling Ben a friend made Sissy's heart catch.
Well, more than a friend. We're engaged. I'm madly in love for the very first time. Someday, maybe, I'll invite you here to meet him.
But not today.
Doreen nodded.
I was a horrible mother, a coward, and the enabler of a child abuser. You needn't avoid saying that to me. In group, I said it aloud plenty of times. As your mother, I sinned against you, Sissy. I'll ask for your forgiveness when I feel you're ready, but for now, I'm just grateful you're talking to me.
Now it was Sissy's turn to get tears in her eyes.
Mama, you were never the one who was cruel to me.
Oh, yes. I didn't pack in the middle of the night and run to get you away from him.
Looking back, I don't know where my head was. I felt unattractive, inept, and helpless. Men like Doug Bentley are experts at browbeating women. That's no excuse for my behavior, I know. But I didn't believe I had it in me to feed you and keep a roof over your head if I left him.
She reached for her coat, which lay beside her on the seat.
While I drive home, I'm going to pray with every roll of the tires that what I've told you may help you to forgive me. I'm going to pray that our talk today may be a new beginning for us. And if it's not, I'm going to pray that you have a wonderful life with that nice young man of yours. Please watch for the signs. Having grown up with your father, you should know them well.
Sissy searched her mother's face. Ben isn't a Doug Bentley. He's smart, patient, caring, generous, and never says mean things to me or anyone. He's so wonderful I can't begin to list all his attributes.
Doreen smiled. So what are his flaws, Sissy? They're there. None of us is perfect. Be sure you're seeing him through clear lenses.
Sissy laughed.
She hadn't expected to do that during this meeting.
Oh, he has them. He's stubborn. When he set his sights on me, I couldn't get rid of him.
Doreen nodded. He knew a good thing when he saw it. Go on.
Sissy thought a moment. He's a little too protective. He used to jump in and do everything for me, or decide what was best for me. But he's a caring man, and I think he came to realize that I need to make my own choices and feel independent.
For instance, when you called me, he didn't approve when I decided to walk over here. He said that I owe you nothing, and he was afraid you might have lied about being divorced from my father. Doreen chuckled.
But he allowed you to come. I haven't seen a man peering through the windows to check on you.
He didn't allow me to come, Mama. Sissy paused, amazed that she'd addressed her mother twice as she had as a kid. Ben isn't my boss. He doesn't rule me. He's working his ass off right now to keep my business afloat. So maybe he's still a little protective of me, but in a good way. Without him, I'd be in Hurt City financially right now.
Does he drink?
Sissy almost laughed again. Yes, a little. We'll have a glass or two of wine. I imagine he enjoys a beer now and then with his brothers, but I've never seen him drunk. Doreen, slender enough to slip on her jacket while seated in the booth, said,
I'm proud of you. At least I taught you one good thing. Look closely at a man before you leap.
She slid from the seat to gaze down at Sissy. Looking up at her, Sissy couldn't help but note how alike they were in appearance except for their coloring.
Remember those prayers I'll be saying as I drive home.
And be happy with Ben.
It sounds as if you found a winner. There's nothing more wonderful than a healthy relationship.
Sissy raised her eyebrows. You've met someone. It wasn't a question.
Oh, yeah.
Doreen grinned.
And he's everything Doug isn't. I played it smart this time.
Sissy struggled up from the booth. Doreen slid her gaze from the top of Sissy's head to her feet, one still in a cast. When she looked back up, she said,
You are a beautiful woman. Remember that. I know you aren't ready for a hug, but blowing you a kiss goodbye should work.
Sissy could have sworn she felt the kiss, as if it had somehow drifted through the air and landed on her cheek. It wasn't until her mother left the restaurant that Sissy touched her lips to her palm and blew a kiss back. When she hobbled into the cauldron seconds later and reached the kitchen, Ben asked,
So, how did it go?
She's divorced my dad, I think. My mother isn't above lying, but I actually believe she left him.
Good for her.
I think she'd like to see me again, but I'm wary. I don't want to invite that kind of craziness back into my life. Ben kept chopping onions.
Good for you.
After visiting with her mom and remembering so many things she didn't wish to about her father, how domineering and cruel he'd been in particular, Sissy loved Ben even more. As caring as he was, he didn't want to run her life. He disagreed with her decision to see her mother, but he also appreciated that Sissy needed to make her own decisions. If she made mistakes, he'd be there to comfort her. If she made the right choices, he'd be there to pat her on the back. She was still calling her own shots, and it was a fabulous feeling. Shortly before Thanksgiving, Ben's whole family came to the cafe to celebrate Ben and Sissy's engagement. Sissy had expected to feel nervous, wondering if she was being sized up as to her suitability, but she enjoyed being with Ben's loved ones. While watching them, she learned what it could be like in a normal family, with brothers and sisters teasing one another while the parents looked on with indulgent smiles. Ben waited until the cafe was crowded with his relatives and customers before he drew Sissy up from the lounge and yelled to be heard over the roar of conversation.
I have an announcement to make.
A sudden hush fell over the dining room. Sissy felt her cheeks go warm, not with embarrassment, but pleasure. This man, whom she'd come to love so deeply, was about to tell the world that he wanted to make her his wife.
As all of you may have guessed, I am madly in love with this beautiful lady.
He grinned down at Sissy.
And though it may seem a little too soon to some of you, we've spent so much time in each other's company that we both feel we know each other better than we've ever known anyone. So, I asked Sissy to marry me.
Ben grasped Sissy's left hand and held it up so everyone could see her engagement ring.
She accepted, and I feel like the luckiest guy in the world.
People clapped their hands. Some of the men stomped and whistled. Sissy found herself being hugged, first by members of Ben's family and then by customers. While lying on the lounge, she'd had time to grow acquainted with practically all her regular patrons, and she now counted them as her friends, loving them almost as much as she did Blackie, Christopher, Marilyn, and the Viards. After all the congratulatory hugs and handshakes, Ben went behind the counter to serve drinks on the house. Even Christopher indulged in a glass of wine, saying, "If one glass kills me, I'll die a happy man. My honorary granddaughter has found herself a damned good husband." Everyone cheered, and a few people patted the stooped old man on the back. Charlie Bogart yelled, "Bottoms up, Chris. Walk on the wild side tonight. Did she adopt you, or did you adopt her?" Christopher raised his glass. "I adopted her. I'm her grandpa now, whether she likes it or not." Sissy limped over to Christopher and gave him a gentle hug. "I'm going to call you Gramps, whether you like it or not." Sissy still tired easily, and her leg had begun to ache, so she lay on the lounge with her cast propped up on pillows to enjoy watching everyone party. Both Ben's family and many customers stayed long after the usual closing time. She knew many of her older patrons were staying up late in order to celebrate their engagement. She had finally found love and a place she could call home. Studying the Sterling men, she noticed how greatly they resembled one another, yet each of them had different character traits that made them special. Sarah and Adriel, Ben's younger sisters, had taken after their mother with slight builds. Sissy didn't often meet women who were as energetic as she was, but she realized that she'd met her matches in Kate and her daughters. That thought made Sissy more impatient to get her cast removed. The doctor had made it clear that she'd need weeks of physical therapy, but she looked forward to even that. She would be able to go for her tri-weekly treatments in Mystic Creek. It would hurt at first, but it would be worth whatever she had to endure in order to be active again. When Ben had finally bade everyone goodnight, locked the front door, and put up the closed sign, he lifted Sissy from the lounge and ascended the stairs sideways to reach the flat. "Don't you still have breakfast prep to do?" He deposited her on the sofa. "That's one of the beauties of entertaining family. They helped in the kitchen. They started early, and I'm done for the night." He quickly went back downstairs to retrieve her pillows. As he re-entered the flat, he went on talking as if there hadn't been a lull. "You know what that means. I can spend the rest of my evening making passionate love to my future wife." Sissy's weariness vanished, and Ben followed through on his promise, making love to her 3 times before they fell asleep in each other's arms. Chapter 21. The next evening, right after the last customer left the cafe, Ben got a phone call as he locked the front door. When he came into the kitchen, he said, "That was my dad. He's been training 2 horses that were brought to me. Apparently, he's been looking high and low for a special bit and hasn't been able to find it. I can't remember where I put it, but it's for sure not in the tack room where it belongs. I've got to go find it so he'll have it come morning." He glanced at the counters, laden with dirty cookware and dishes. "I won't be long. If your leg's bothering you, take a rest, and we'll knock it out together when I get back." Sissy's leg ached only a little. "I'm fine," she assured him as she followed him to the back door. "Don't drive too fast on the curves. It may be icy out." He bent to kiss her. It was a long, leisurely exploration of her mouth that left her feeling breathless. "Do you really believe I'd drive like a maniac with a beautiful woman like you waiting for me? If I got in a wreck, I might miss out on happy hour later." Sissy giggled, then she sobered. "I'm no longer on crutches. I miss Finnegan. He's a part of our family, and it doesn't seem right without him here. Could you run by Barney's and pick him up on the way back?"
"He could still trip you."
"He won't. He's smart, Ben. He'll realize I'm hurt and be extra careful."
"All right. I'll bring him home, but not tonight. It's late. We've got cleanup and prep to do, and Barney may already be in bed.
But you'll get him tomorrow? She pressed.
Ben sighed. Against my better judgment, yes, I'll bring him home tomorrow.
Sissy locked up behind him, listened for the familiar thump of his boots going down the steps, and then leaned against the door for a moment, smiling. He hadn't said he would bring Finn here. He'd said he would bring Finn home. That made her feel so secure and, well, just happy.
Hobbling on her cast, Sissy made her way toward the kitchen. She just entered the cafe proper when Ben's distinctive and never-changing knock, three raps with long pauses in between, resounded up the hallway from the back door. She smiled and retraced her steps. As she turned the key in the lock to disengage the mechanism, she said, "What did you forget?" The door burst open with enough force to knock her backward and off her feet. Her head smacked the wall, making bright spots appear before her eyes. When her vision cleared, she saw the man of her nightmare standing over her. He smiled as if seeing her sprawled at his feet amused him. Sissy glanced past him and saw that he'd closed the door. She had no doubt that he had locked it, and she could tell by his glazed eyes that he was either drunk, stoned, or both. She refused to call him Dad. He didn't deserve the title.
"What are you doing here?"
He grabbed her arm in a brutal grip and jerked her to her feet.
"I came for what's ours. The money. Mabel never stopped loving me. She almost married me. Your mom and I should have inherited this dump and all her money. If you behave yourself for once in your miserable life, maybe that's all I'll take. You don't have that tire iron now, sweet cheeks."
Sissy almost fell again as he released his hold on her arm and shoved her up the hallway. She lurched against the wall, throwing all of her weight on her injured leg. She managed to keep her footing, but only just barely. She remembered how he'd mimicked Ben's knock and knew that he'd been watching her and waiting to strike. He was like a rattlesnake, except he gave no warning.
"Is my mother in on this?" she asked over her shoulder. "Did she tell you where I am?"
"Yep. What'd you think? That she had a sudden personality change? You know her as well as I do. She never turns up her nose at free money. And she was mad as hell when we found out Mabel left you this place. Doreen thought she should have inherited it, not you. I'm here to take what I can of what should have been ours."
Even though fear reigned supreme within Sissy, she felt a stab of pain in her heart. Her mother had betrayed her. Ben had already counted down the till and put the day's proceeds in the safe. He had been making regular deposits at the bank for her, but he only did it once a week on Monday. This was Friday. 5 days of profit sat in the safe. Sissy had already lost enough money after her accident while the cafe was closed. There was no way she would open that safe and let her father take nearly a week's income. Ben had worked so hard here to keep Sissy's restaurant operating in the black. In a way, her father would be stealing Ben's sweat. The thought infuriated her. Sissy's mind raced. Douglas Bentley was a big, ham-fisted man. Physically, she was no match for him. Her only hope was to outsmart him. Once he'd pushed Sissy into the cafe dining room, he seized her arm again and dragged her to the cash register.
"Open it."
Sissy knew that he'd realize she had more money stashed somewhere if she gave in too easily. All that remained in the till was the next morning's startup cash.
"No way," she said, forcing defiance into her voice. "My whole week's profit is in there. I'm not going to let you walk out of here with it."
Doug Bentley drew back his arm and slapped her. Even as Sissy staggered backward and nearly fell under the force of the blow, she knew she'd gotten off lucky. In the past, he'd always used his fists.
"Open it, or I swear to God I'll bust that leg of yours again and make you a cripple for the rest of your life."
Feigning reluctance, Sissy fished under the counter for a register key, which she always kept hanging on a nail where few people would think to look for it.
You're a bastard. Do you have any idea how badly it'll hurt me financially if you take a whole week of my profit? Look at this place. It's a dump. I'm barely making ends meet. Doug sneered at her.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a shit.
Sissy opened the drawer, hoping that she had played her role convincingly enough to make her father believe he was making off with every dime she had in the building. Help yourself, then. Ruin your daughter financially. You may find the checks difficult to cash, and a lot of people use credit cards, but you can take everything else. Her father shuffled through the bills in each divider. Then, without any warning, he snarled and backhanded Sissy across the mouth. The blow sent her stumbling backward, and she fell against the shelving. Pain streaked up her leg.
"Do you really think I'm that stupid?" he asked. "This is only the opening money for tomorrow."
Looking up at her father's glaring eyes, Sissy knew that he might kill her if she refused to open the safe. No amount of money was worth dying for, especially not when she was so happy for the first time in her life. Ben, a future with him, getting married and raising a family with him. To her, that was the true treasure. Giving her father even as much as a dime stuck in her craw, but as she regained her feet, she assured herself that this would be the last time she'd ever have to deal with him. The moment he left, she'd dial 911. He would be arrested before he left town, and she wouldn't hesitate to press charges. He'd do hard time for robbery, breaking into her building and assaulting her. For once in his life, Douglas Bentley would get what was coming to him. Sissy hobbled to the safe in the kitchen pantry, detesting the man who followed behind her. He'd injured her leg. It didn't feel as if it was broken again, but it did hurt when she put weight on it. What bothered her was that he didn't care. If she ended up being a cripple for the rest of her life, he'd never feel a moment's remorse. There was something missing inside of him, that part of a person that allowed him to experience compassion and love. Sissy was so furious that her hand didn't shake as she turned the dial to unlock the safe. When she heard the click, she pulled open the door and stepped back. He grabbed an empty money bag. Ben had stacked each denomination of bills and secured them with paper clips. Sissy watched her father grabbing money, filling the bag as full as he could get it. He couldn't even close the zipper. Sissy knew he'd just relieved her of about 7,000, maybe more. That had once seemed like a lot to her. Now she thought of it as working capital, which would quickly deplete when she paid for supplies. The cafe provided her with a comfortable living, but it would never make her rich. Her father placed the money back on the shelf and said,
"Well now, I've got nearly everything I came for."
He lashed out so fast to grab her by the hair that she couldn't move quickly enough to evade him.
"I've been waiting 10 years for this moment, ever since you turned 16 and got tits."
Sissy's skin went icy. She knew what he intended to do, and she also knew she couldn't stop him. "I'm your daughter," she reminded him.
"You aren't my kid. Before you were born, I got thrown in jail for 6 months, and when I got released, Doreen was 3 months gone with some other man's brat."
Sissy knew he was lying. She hadn't taken after her father in build, but she had his dark hair and blue eyes. She also had a little bump on her right earlobe that her mother had told her ran in his family. She shifted her gaze to the side of his head and saw it. He was a piece of trash.
"I wish I weren't yours. I'd give up my arm not to have your blood in my veins, but that's your fairy tale, not mine. You're a bastard who's about to rape his own daughter."
He doubled his fist and really hit her then. Sissy had endured blows from his bunched knuckles enough to know that he might have fractured her cheekbone. If so, it wouldn't be the first time. His grip on her hair kept her from falling. She glared up at him. She was frightened. Somewhere behind her rage, the fear clawed at her stomach like icy talons. She knew she couldn't fight him off. He looked soft, but under the layer of flab, he packed a lot of muscle. If he got her underneath him, he would be able to pin her with his weight alone. Sissy was going to come out the loser in this battle. Ben wouldn't return in time to save her. The physical closeness between them had been sacred, or something very close to it. What her father planned was just the opposite, a sacrilege. Her mouth was dry, but she tipped back her head despite the sting of her hair follicles, and with all the force that she could muster, she spit in her father's face. He roared with anger, and with one powerful swing of his arm, he threw Sissy so hard that she hit the lower cabinets of the kitchen before she landed on the floor. Dimly, she realized that her cast had broken. Through the pain that radiated over her body, she also knew she couldn't try to run. Not without anything to brace her leg. She could break her tibia again. Her father snarled and sprang at her. For an instant, it seemed to Sissy that he floated on the air with his arms spread. And then he landed, all 200-plus pounds of him flattening her against the floor, with such impact that all the air in her chest gushed from her mouth. She tried to scream, but instead she could only gasp with lungs that refused to inflate. Black spots danced before her eyes. She felt her blouse rip, felt her father's beefy hands on her bare skin. Finally, she was able to drag in a jagged breath. Her vision cleared. With horror, she felt the waistband of her sweatpants down around her hips. She turned her head to look for a weapon. She had fallen near the open shelving that housed her cooking pots. The small, cast-iron fajita skillets lay just beyond her reach. Her father was grunting above her and tearing at her bra. Sissy strained to reach the handle of a fajita skillet. It wasn't large, but if she could grasp the handle, it would be light enough for her to swing it with all her might. She managed to shift her shoulders closer to the shelf. Her father was so intent on pulling up her bra that he'd lifted some of his weight off her. Sissy touched the tip of the handle with her fingers. She still couldn't get a solid grip. She pushed with her good leg, trying to inch closer. Finally, she was able to curl her fingers around the stout handle. At the edge of her mind, she realized her father had bared her breasts and was pinching her nipples. Her stomach heaved with revulsion. "My father," she thought. And then, with all the strength she had left, she swung the skillet at his head. Then she swung again. He went limp, his weight still pinning her to the floor. She lay beneath him, keeping a death hold on the cast iron, prepared to bonk him again if he came around. She didn't care if she killed him. All she cared about was getting him off of her, being free of his stench. She squirmed sideways. He was so heavy he was crushing her. She pushed with her uninjured leg and gained another inch. He was round at the belly and rolled slightly. She pressed both hands against his shoulders and shoved with all her might. He didn't topple off of her, but his weight shifted, enabling her to wiggle out from under him. Every intake of air whined against her eardrums. She turned onto her stomach, still holding the skillet, and belly crawled to put distance between them. When she reached the corner of the cupboard, she sat up and rested her back against the door. She stared at her father, lying on the floor, possibly dead, but more likely still breathing. She needed to call the police, but her phone had fallen from her sweatpants pocket when he'd been knocking her around. Remembering his hands on her breasts, she gagged and purged her stomach. Lumpy liquid landed on her top. It stank, but not as badly as her father. Terrified that he might regain consciousness and knowing she didn't dare try to run, she did the only thing she could. She screamed. As Ben parked in Sissy's backyard and opened the door to get out of his truck, he heard her screaming. This time, it wasn't pain he heard in her cries, but terror. He hit the ground running, cursing the fact that he'd never had a duplicate of her key made. He felt as if he were racing against a headwind, every step taking a lifetime. Across the yard, up the steps, he smacked the back door with such force that he took out the frame again. Sissy's screams came from the kitchen. The hallway seemed to be a mile long. When he reached the dining room, he heard her sobbing. Following the sound, he burst into the cooking area and almost tripped over a man sprawled on the floor. He saw Sissy huddled in the corner of the cupboards. Blood trickled from her nose and puffy lower lip. Her cheek was bright red. The front of her blouse hung open, revealing her bra, pushed above her breasts. Ben wanted to kill the man on the floor with his bare hands, but he was either already dead or out cold. There was a deep gash on his temple, which he suspected had been put there by the skillet Sissy still held. He hurried over to her. "Sweetheart, are you okay?" When he reached toward her, she flinched away.
Don't, please, don't touch me.
Ben snatched his cell phone from his pocket and dialed 911. A female dispatcher answered.
"This is Ben Sterling at the Cauldron. Some man broke in and attacked Sissy Bentley. I believe she hit him on the head with a skillet and knocked him out. She may be badly hurt, and he's unconscious."
"I've dispatched the call, sir. Help is on the way. Would you like me to remain on the phone with you until the officers and paramedics arrive?"
"No,"
Ben said.
"Miss Bentley needs attention. I have the situation under control."
Ben pocketed his phone and gazed down at Sissy. Never had he felt so helpless.
"My father,"
she said, her voice still shaking.
"He's my father, and my mother is in on it."
Ben's stomach rolled. He wanted to plant a boot in the bastard's face and then grab him by the hair and pound his already injured head against the floor. He tried to rape Sissy. Maybe he'd succeeded. Judging by the way she'd shrunk away from Ben's touch, she appeared to be in shock. Ben crouched beside her.
"Did he?"
"No, but almost. I bashed him on the head to knock him out."
She released her grip on the skillet, and it clanked on the floor.
"He broke my cast. I couldn't run. I was so scared he'd wake up."
Just then, she jerked, and her eyes widened with renewed terror. Ben pivoted in a crouch and surged to his feet just as Bentley rushed him. Ben had no time to react. The other man's body slammed him with such force that Ben fell against the grill behind him. Ben's recent rage, diminished by concern for Sissy, returned, licking through his bloodstream. He clenched his hands into fists. Bentley was fair game now, awake and in attack mode. Ben drew back and hit the son of a bitch squarely in the face with all his strength. The older and heavier man reeled backward, but he remained standing. Something primal overtook Ben. He strode across the floor and punched the bastard again, one more time in the face and then with an uppercut blow to his belly. "Sissy," he thought. "Not much to her," Drake had said. And it was true. Yet this bastard, her own father, had harmed her, broken her cast. Possibly, if her tibia had been damaged, crippled her. Ben wanted to beat him to death. Bentley crashed to his knees. Ben drew back and planted his boot in the man's ribs.
"Ben, stop! You'll kill him and go to jail!" Sissy screamed. "Stop, please, stop!"
Sanity returned, and Ben, fists still clenched, stared down at Bentley, who lay huddled in a fetal position.
"Count your lucky stars, you asshole. I've never wanted to kill a man before, but I'd gladly put you 6 feet under."
Chapter 22 Sissy stared at her father as he writhed on the floor. She felt soiled in a way that soap and water would never remove. Douglas Bentley wasn't only a piece of trash. He had something haywire in his brain. She couldn't believe alcohol alone had turned him into such a monster. and his blood flowed in her veins.
She heard the faint sound of sirens, and with every beat of her heart they grew louder. Then she heard the screech of tires as speeding vehicles came to a sudden stop.
"I'm not leaving you to let them in," Ben said, "not with him conscious."
Sissy listened for the sound of shattering glass, but somehow the emergency response team gained access to the building without breaking a window.
"In the kitchen," Ben called.
Barney Sterling was the first person to charge into the kitchen. He glanced at Sissy, determined she was in no immediate danger, and then straddled Doug Bentley and jerked his arms behind his back to cuff him.
"You have the right to remain silent and refuse to answer questions. Anything you say..." "Go fuck yourself! You think this is the first time I ever heard my rights?"
As if Bentley hadn't spoken, Barney continued,
"Anything you say may be held against you in a court of law."
For Sissy, everything after that happened in a blur. Paramedics rushed in. She was checked over and lifted onto a gurney. Before she knew it, she was in an ambulance headed for Crystal Falls. Though her cheekbones still throbbed, she didn't feel badly hurt, except for her leg, which she prayed wasn't serious. Emotionally, however, she felt wounded in a way that no doctor could ever heal. She thought of Ben and closed her eyes to ward off an urge to sob. He was such a wonderful man and came from an equally wonderful family. Sissy was the daughter of a mentally ill drunk and a woman who'd offered her child up tonight as a sacrifice to get her hands on some money. Because of Doug Bentley, people had looked down on her all her life. She remembered that football player who'd called her white trash. Well, he'd been right. They'd all been right. Her feelings of inferiority had always run deep, and they flooded back to the surface now. Her father was sick, beyond sick.